But Lord, I pray that this would not be just a usual service or a usual, just a typical message. But I pray that it would be transformational. I pray, Lord, that you will come and minister and speak prophetically to your people, Lord God, that you will come and do what only you can do. Come and move by your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit, Father God. Change us into your image. Change us into your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said? Amen. 1 John 5, verse number 4. Says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want you guys to say this. We're going to memorize some scripture today. Is that okay? Say this with me. And this is the victory. Now say it like you believe it. And this is the victory. Again. And this is the victory. All right. Forget about that for a minute. That overcometh the world. So say that with me. That overcometh the world. Again. That overcometh the world. One more time. That overcometh the world. Let's try putting those two segments together. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Again. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. One more time. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. You ready? Even our faith. Say that. Even our faith. One more time. Even our faith. Now let's put that whole piece together. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now don't cheat now. Let's try to say it without it. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now go to verse number 7. For there are three, everybody say three. We're going to learn about three today. There are three that bear record in heaven. Imagine that. In heaven right now, there's three that are bearing record. Who are those? The Father, the Word, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the three in one. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Right now in heaven is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And guess what? And these three are one. The three in one. A threefold cord is not easily broken. 1 Thessalonians, I'm switching up. We're going to get to verse number 8 here in a minute. So stay to verse number 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 23 says, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body, three, you are made a trinity. God made us in his image, the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. We're made into a trinity, spirit, soul, and body. In fact, Genesis 1:27 says, and God took the mold of a ground and made it into a body and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A trinity. That's why it says a threefold cord is not easily broken. So we got three in heaven. We're made into a trinity. In fact, if you remove one of those elements, if your spirit and your soul departs from your body, that means you died. All right? You're no longer a whole person. Your body goes into the grave, your spirit and your soul. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All right? Now go to verse number 8. And there are three. Everybody say three. Three in heaven. I'm three. I'm a trinity. And there are three that bear witness in earth. Three that bear witness in heaven. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But there are three that bear witness on the earth. What are these three? The Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. The water. That's talk about the Word. Say the Word. And the blood. Everybody say the blood. Now, the verse that we started off was 1 John 5:4. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. I want to talk to some people today. I want to talk to people today that wants to walk in victory. You want to walk in authority. You want to do all that God has called you to do. You want to be a giant killer. You want to be a city shaker. You want to be a world changer. You want to make a difference. How many am I talking to this morning? If you want to have an impact on this earth, you got to have all three of these in verse number 8. You cannot separate and think you're going to walk in victory if you only got one of those or two of those or three of them. You got to have check, check, check. So we're going to preach around these three things. You want to walk in victory? You got to have the blood. Everybody say the blood. It says in Revelation 12, verse number 11, and we overcame him by the blood of a lamb and by the word of our testimony. We overcome the devil and the world by the blood of Jesus. How many of you guys have been covered by the blood? Now, most of us just reached that level. Most of us that came in this place today, you are covered by the blood. If you are not covered by the blood, you are not born again. It's not enough to go to church. You got to be covered by the blood. It's not enough to take a communion wafer or a communion cup and think that that makes you right with God. Can I tell you something? You can split hell wide open with a wafer in your mouth if you're not born again. You see, water baptism, you can split hell wide open with water baptisms dripping off your face if you're not born again. Only the blood makes us right with God. Amen? And so we got to be covered by the blood. All of us are in agreement for that. But here's the shocking statement. I'm about to shock you. In fact, it kind of shocks me at first, but I'm going to explain it. It's not enough to be covered by the blood. If you want to walk in victory, walk in power, walk in authority, walk in dominion, it's not enough to just be covered by the blood. Shocking, ain't it? I'm just letting it sink in. It's not enough to be covered by the blood. I can tell you about hundreds of Christians that are covered by the blood, but are living in defeat. In fact, during the homeless ministry, I have preached to thousands of people. And I have given altar calls and people running to Christ. And they get covered by the blood, but they still live in addiction. Still living in bondage. Still not possessing their promised land. I'm going to say it again. It's not enough to be covered by the blood. You got to have the three in one. It starts by getting covered by the blood. I'm grateful that this morning I'm covered by the blood of a lamb. But we got to be full of a spirit. Everybody say the spirit, the water, the water. You see, John the Baptist comes on the scene and he was baptizing people in the Jordan River. But he began to tell people kept coming to him and says, are you the one? Are you the one? And John was quick to say, no, I'm not the one. I'm just a voice. I'm just preparing the way. But the one that comes after me, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. When he come down the mountain, when Jesus was coming down the mountain, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's being covered by the blood. But he says, you're going to get filled with the Spirit. Right before Jesus started to go to the cross, he began to tell his disciples. He says, it's expedient that I go away. They must crucify me. They must bury me. But I'm going to resurrect. You begin to tell them, I will rise again. And I'm going to ascend up into heaven. But be of good cheer. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I'm not going to leave you in this condition. I will come to you. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit back to you. And in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I know that you're covered by the blood, but it's time to get filled with the Spirit. I need some peppermint water. And in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, when they were in one place, one accord, the 120 people got along with God for 10 days. When's the last time that you prayed for 10 days? But when they came together in unity and they got on their faces and they forgot about all their other agendas and says, we got to have the presence of God. We got to get filled. I know we're covered by the blood, but we need to get filled with the Spirit. And they begin to pray and seek the face of God. And in Acts 2, verse number 4, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. There appeared in them cloven tongues of fire that set upon each of them, and they were all filled. Everybody say filled. Amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost. This is a day, an age, an hour that we need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. And when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, can I tell you something? They did great things for God. After they got filled with the Holy Ghost, that day 3,000 people got right with God, got saved. Now, if we want to see many people come to Christ, it's going to happen when we, as the born-again believers, get filled with the Spirit of a living God. Amen? And then Peter and James got arrested and for seeing a man got healed. In Acts chapter 3, is a homeless guy, a beggar that was at the temple every day. They carried him there, and he had a sign, please, I'm hungry, or whatever the sign may have been. But when Peter and John came by and seen them in that condition he's been in, he said, silver and gold have I none. So full of the Holy Spirit. They were just filled to baptized by the Holy Spirit. But now they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given unto thee. In the name of Jesus, arise and walk. How does miracles happen? It happens when you and I are not just covered by the blood, but miracles, signs, and wonders will happen when we get filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. So they were arrested, thrown into jail, threatened. You are not allowed to preach in that name. You are not allowed to preach in the name of Jesus. And they boldly threatened them. Then they let them go, but they was having they were back in the prayer room praying, oh, please help Peter and James. They've been arrested, Lord. They thought for sure that their life was over, and an angel came and released them, and they go back to the prayer room, and you know the story. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that once again they were assembled and they were praying, and God refilled them with the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to be filled one time. It's a continually being refilled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ephesians 5 verse number 18 says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled. That word filled is a continuing thing. It's not enough to get filled once. We, every day that we wake up, we not just get covered by the blood, but we need to get full of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 8, we see the evangelist Philip going down in Samaria, and guess what he's doing? He's preaching about the blood. He's preaching about Christ. He goes into that city and he starts preaching about the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ. People started getting saved. They were getting water baptized, signs and miracles. They were getting healed. They were water baptized, but guess what? None of them were full, getting filled with the Holy Spirit. It is another experience that is available for everyone who's been covered by the blood. Now it's time to get filled with the Spirit. And so when word got back in Jerusalem that God was moving in Samaria, that they were saved, they were water baptized, and they were healed, and that many of them got demons cast out of them, they were delivered. But when word got out, it says that they went down and laid hands on them. Why? That they may receive the Holy Spirit. We're glad you're covered by the blood, but it's time to get filled with the power of God. Acts chapter 10, house of Cornelius. Peter goes in, he has a vision. We know the vision that was given him, but he goes in and he starts preaching Christ. Can I tell you something? It's time for us in the pulpits to get back to preaching Christ. Amen? And so he was preaching Christ, and right in the middle of his sermon, the Holy Spirit shows up and interrupts everything, and they get filled with the Holy Ghost. They start speaking in other languages, and then they got water baptized. The Gentiles are now one with the Jews, and we all become full of the Holy Spirit. We become the ark of the presence of God. And then in Acts chapter 19, we see Paul going into one of the most religious cities of his day, the city of Ephesus. He finds 12 believers of the Baptist church. They were all baptized under John the Baptist. They were all, but he began to preach Christ to them, and guess what? They got covered by the blood, and then they get filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 19. I think it's time for us to not just get covered by the blood. It's time to get full of the Spirit of God. Amen? Everybody say the blood.
Blood.
Everybody say the Spirit.
Spirit.
But then thirdly, the Word. Everybody say the Word.
Word.
You see, it's not enough to get covered by the blood. It's not enough to get full of the Holy Ghost. I know Christians that are covered by the blood and filled with the Spirit, but they're still living in defeat. They haven't entered into a threefold cord. A threefold cord is not easily broken. There's three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit and the Son and the Word of God. Everybody say the Word. You see, it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you want to be a giant killer and a city shaker and a world changer and a water walker and a grave robber, you got to not only have the blood and the power, but you got to know the word. Amen. It's time for us to be people of the word. We got to know the Word. We got to study the Word. When's the last time that you got in God's Word and say, it's not enough to be covered by the blood. It's not enough to be filled with the Spirit. I need to be filled with the Word of God. I read a statistic this morning in a Charisma article that 14% of Christians, only 14%, of people that are covered by the blood, open their Bibles every day and study it. 14% studies the Word every day. And then it get worse. 18% of people opens it once a week. And you think you're going to walk in victory. You think that you're going to see the power of God flow in your life, but you only open it once a week. And then the statistic gets even worse to say that 22% of all born-again people that are covered by the blood, guess what? 22% of God's people opens it once a month. If you want to turn the world upside down, if you want to make a difference and do all that God has called you to do, we got to be covered by the blood, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of the Word of God. Everybody say, study to show yourself approved. Again, study to show yourself approved. Again, study to show yourself approved unto God. You're not proving yourself to me. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be ashamed. I want to know what thus saith the Lord. Rightly dividing the word of truth. How many of you guys believe that this is God's revelation to man?
Amen.
This is the revelation of God. If we want to know who God is, we got to get in His Word. Amen? This is a revelation of God. And the way that we get to know God is to spend time in His Word. You are not going to walk in victory until you become Word people. every day. Matthew 4:4 says, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, when's the last time that you fasted for 40 days? Can you imagine? Now, like me, I could probably fast longer because I got more fat than you without dying. But after about 40 days, 50 days, guess what you're going to do? If I don't eat, you're going to bury me. Why? Because you are not built to live without air. You're not lived to built without drinking water. You're not lived to built to last without eating. I love eating. How about you guys? But if I stop eating, I'm going to die. You see, it doesn't matter how much I ate over the last 47 years. If I stop eating, I'm going to die. Can I tell you something? Some of you guys in the spiritual, you used to eat every day. You used to get in His Word every day, but you stop eating. Can I tell you something? If you stop eating long enough, you're going to die spiritually. I don't care how much of the Bible you got memorized. If you don't get up and quote it, if you don't get up and spend time in God's Word, you will get into sin. You will be separate. Eventually, you'll look back. How did I get here? You got away from the Word. You quit eating the Word of God. It is our daily bread. Everybody say, daily bread. It's one thing that we are not to abstain from. We're told to abstain from food, and we should fast. Amen? We should abstain from fornication, but you should never abstain from the Word of God. Amen? And so we got to get in God's Word. When we get in God's Word, we learn several things. Number one, we learn who God is. We get in His Word and spend time in here. We realize that God is a good God, that He's not against us, that He is for us, that He has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. We learn that He is a good God. Amen. That He is a faithful God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. When God starts something, He completes it. Amen. And when we spend time in His Word, we realize that God is a saving God. He can save anyone, that there's nobody that God cannot save, because His arm is not short where it cannot save. His ear is not dull where it cannot hear. God is a good God, and He's able to save the prodigal sons and daughters that we've been praying for. They have not gone too far where God cannot reach them. Why? Because when I get in His Word, I realize that He is a saving God, that He is a healing God. There is no sickness, disease, infirmity that is greater than the name of Jesus, that is greater than the blood of Jesus, that is greater than the Word of God. We still believe in divine healing. We believe that Jesus is able to heal. Amen? As we read this Word, it says in Isaiah, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Then I go over to James, and it says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It says that by His stripes we are healed. We were healed. It says in Mark 16, lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. And I read about the miracles of Jesus. He goes around from village to village healing the sick and casting out devils. I said, wow, God is a saving God. Wow, God is a healing God. If God healed that woman, He can heal me. Amen. It is a revelation of God, of who He is. And we say, whoa, He is a saving God. He is a healing God. Whoa, He is a delivering God. He delivered how many Jews? 4 million Jews from slavery and bondage after being slaves for 400 years. Wow, if God is able to deliver them, surely He's able to deliver me. He is a delivering God. Amen. Saving God, healing God, delivering God, forgiving God, restoring God. I read the book of Job. Oh, wow, look at that. I know he went through a lot. I know he lost all his children. He lost his business. He lost his health. But guess what? And Job, at the end of it, I keep on reading. I get a revelation. Wow, God is a restoring God. Can I tell you today that if you would just get in God's Word, He will let you know that He's able to provide for you. He's able to save you. He's able to heal you. He's able to deliver you. He's able to restore what the enemy has stolen from your life. Amen? Get a revelation of who He is. We also should get in God's Word, not just to find out who He is and His character, but we need to get in God's Word and know His Word to realize who our enemy is. I mean, can you imagine you're about to get into the fight of your life, you're about to get in a ring with your enemy, and you know nothing about your opponent, you know nothing about the enemy that you are about to get in front of? Can you imagine Rocky getting into the ring without spending some time finding out who his opponent is? We got to know who our enemy is. And if we will get in this Bible and be covered by the blood and full of the Spirit, and now we're full of the Word, we will realize who our adversary is. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says, be not ignorant of his devices. Can you imagine our military going over to fight ISIS, but has never studied ISIS, has never studied the geographical layout, knows nothing about how they operate, know nothing about their tactics, know nothing about how they operate. And here we're going to put our military and set them down in that atmosphere without knowing who their enemy is. Can I tell you something? The enemy is out to destroy you. He's out to kill from you. But if you get in God's Word, yes, I'm glad you're covered by the blood and that you speak in tongues. But do you know the Word of God? Amen. Know the Word of God so that you're able to see the enemy. The Bible says that in the last days, people will give heed to seducing spirits. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. They used to serve God, love God. They used to preach in our pulpits. But they depart from the faith. Why? They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're seducing spirits. I don't care how long you've been in church and how long you've been serving God. I want to let you know there's seducing spirits out there that wants to seduce you away from God. And if Adam and Eve was seduced to trade the whole garden for just one piece of fruit, don't you think that you're so spiritual that you can't be seduced into sin? Esau traded his birthright for one cup of soup. Samson traded his strength for prostitutes. The prodigal son traded the father's house for a pig's pen. Judas, after being so anointed and preaching the gospel, healing the sick, traded it all for money. Seducing spirits, I come to warn you to not know your adversary, because seducing spirits are going to come to try to get you in pornography. Try to get you in the areas of lust. Can I tell you something? If you can't stay free from it, if you keep looking at it and going back to it, I would do everything possible to stay free. Yes, get covered by the blood. Yes, get full of the presence of God. Yes, get full of the Word of God. But put some filters on your computer. You can't get free from it, take it and get a sledgehammer, and in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, do whatever it takes to guard yourself against seducing spirits, or you'll be one that we won't see. There'll be another empty pew because you gave heed to seducing spirits. Then the other area, and doctrines of devils. Mormonism is a doctrine of devils. Jehovah's Witnesses is a doctrine of devils. There's been people that left the faith because they gave heed, not to seducing spirits, but doctrines of devils. That's why you better know your Word, so that when something comes along, you're able to recognize that that's not from God. Amen? My wife telling me it's about time already. This is a horrible sign. Get full of the Word because it realizes we get to know the character of God. Get full of the Word because we get to know who our adversary is. Get full of the Word because we realize who our new identity is in Christ. Can I tell you something? That Satan will attack your identity. You see, when Jesus was water baptized, I want to go back to that scene for a minute to teach you another principle. Here is God in the flesh. getting baptized. And the moment that he comes up out of the water, the heavens were open. Can you imagine that? The heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, and a voice, the Father speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Identity. You're my son. I know you haven't healed nobody. I know you haven't preached any sermons yet, but you are my son. I'm well pleased with you, not based upon your works, but based upon who you are in me. Identity. And see, God the Father just spoke and said, "You are my son." But guess who the next person speaks? It's Satan. In the wilderness, immediately after God said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased," Jesus goes into the wilderness, and Satan shows up. And the first thing that Satan says three times, "If you be the son." I know that you just heard God the Father tell you are the son, but I come to question that. If you be the son, why don't you prove it? If you be the son, attack his identity. And if Satan attacked identity of Christ, don't you think he's going to attack your identity? You better know who you are in Christ. You better know your new identity in Christ. Or it will rob you and keep you from doing all that God has called you to do. The children of Israel, after knowing that God was a saving God, they knew that God was a healing God. They knew that God was a delivering God. They knew that God was a providing God. They never entered into the land of promise because they had an identity crisis. They said, "We're not able to go in and possess. We know that God is a good God. We know that the character of God, but we're not able. We're grasshoppers. They're giants. We can't possess it." They had an identity crisis. Why? Because all they knew was slavery. All they knew was bondage. All they knew was that, you know, they rejection and abandonment. And there's a lot of people in here today. You have an identity crisis, and God has called you to do great things. He called some of you to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. He may have called some of you to the worship team. He may have called some of you to do a children's ministry or a homeless ministry or a jail ministry. But God has called each and every one of you. But you'll never fully step into it until you realize all who God is and your new identity in Christ. Amen? Amen. But you can't say, "You know, I was rejected as a child. I was abandoned as a child. I was abused as a child. You don't know the last marriage I just came out of," and you're allowing that to keep you, your identity. And you say, "Well, I've always been my father was an alcoholic, but my grandpa was a great alcoholic, and now I guess I'm an alcoholic." No, realize your new identity in Christ. My Bible says to me that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Know your identity in Christ. Everybody stand to your feet. I have so much more I wanted to get to, but God knows. He's given you power this morning. He's given you authority. He's given you dominion. It's time for you and I to be not just covered by the blood, but it's time to get filled with the Spirit of God and filled with the Word of God. Amen. Those are the victory. Those are the victorious Christians. You will never walk in victory and be an overcomer until you get the three. Until you got the full package. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Word, the Holy Ghost. Amen. The three in one. If you're here today, you've never been covered by the blood. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can forgive you and save you. But everyone bow your head, close your eyes. If you're here in this room, you say, "I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. And I walked in this place and I heard the word, and I need a relationship with God. I need to get covered by the blood. I need Jesus Christ in my life." If that's you, let me see your hands right now all over this room. That's me. I need to get covered by the blood. I need to get born again. If you're here this morning, you said, "This word is challenging to me," and it is to me as well. You said, "I need to get in God's word more. I need to be full of the Holy Spirit. And I want to go deeper than I've ever gone before. I'm not satisfied with where I am. I want to go deeper. I want to go higher. I want to go further in the things of God. If that is you, let me see your hands right now. That's me. My hands up. My hands up. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. There's more of God, and I'm going after it. There's more of God. Let's sing. Let's go ahead and sing a song. Everyone begin to cry out to God. Say, more. More. More, Lord. More. Take us higher, God. Take us deeper, Lord. God, we want to be full of your Spirit. We want to be full of your Word. Thank you for the blood. But Lord, take us deeper. Take us deeper, Lord. Show us your fire. Show us your fire. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Throw about us this morning, Lord God. Send us the fire. Send us the wind. Send us the water, Father God. Let this place be.